in last week's shiur in Chayasora, suggested that the test to which Eliezer subjected Rivka with the camels wasn't just a test in the middah of chesed. It was a test in whether she could make a good wife to Yitzchak. Yitzchak was different than the other Ovis. You find a lot of things which the Torah and Chazal tell us about Yitzchak, which show that he was taken, like Chazal said, we mentioned the Chazal last week, Bezochati es Borisi Yaakov, Vav es Borisi Yitzchak, Vav es Borisi Avroham Ezker, Vohoretz Ezker, that by Yitzchak it doesn't say Zechiro, because it's Afro, it's Tzovoy, and Munach, the front of the Rebbeinu Shloilem. Yitzchak was a pile of ashes. Yitzchak was a Oilot Tamima. And to be married to an Oilot Tamima is a big issue. You have to be a total capable of a total bittel of the self to madregas which are not normally evident in human beings. It was just a different kind of life. There's so many little remozim and mesholim over here in the Pasha which show how different Yitzchak was to everybody else. Give you a marshal over here. The pasuk says over here in Chavov Yud Gimel that Yitzchak, in the Be'oret Zahi, when he was in Plishtim, it's a bad land, it's a no good land, and he became so wealthy. Ad ki godol ma'oed, so Rashi brings, Shehoi Yo'aimrim, Zevel Predoisov Shel Yitzchak, Veloi Kaspoi Vezohovoi Shel Abimelech. It's better to have the Zevel of Yitzchak's mules than the silver and gold of Avimelech. It was worth more than all the silver and gold that Avimelech had. Now, it always bothered me a lot because I'm quite sure that Yitzchak didn't have any mules for a very simple reason. Because a mule is the child of a horse that is crossed with a donkey, and it certainly seems that the Ovis didn't have horses, and that stems with what Chazal says, that the horses were only in Mitzrayim and you weren't allowed to export horses from Mitzrayim. But they always went on a chamoya, and when Yaakov sent Esav the animals, he didn't send any horses. It's very much more that there were no horses. And if there are no horses, then there are no predas. So what's the pshat in this saying that Zevel predoisov shel Yitzchak veloi kaspoi vezovoi shel Avimelech? And the pshat is that what people said is a preda doesn't have any brocha, because any animal that's born from a crossing of two minim can't have children. So a mule can't have children. So the mule is lechoyre totally mufka from brocha. So what people said was that even when Yitzchak came in contact with a situation which had mamish no brocha potential within it at all, even so the success which he had with that was so great that it was the zevel of his predas was more than the silver and gold of Avimelech. The zevel of his predas means that the gain that came to him from situations which were totally mufka from brocha. And why, Taka, was it like that? Why was it that Yitzchak had such enormous blessings? Obviously the Ovis were, Avraham was wealthy. I mean, so Yitzchak was wealthy, but this kind of haflogger, the zevel of his predes was more than the kesef and zov of Avimelech, I don't think you find over there. Now, I think that the pshat in that is the Ramban. It says over there by the Be'eros. Interesting Ramban. It's also like one of these stories which is very interesting about Yitzchak. Vayikro Shem HaBeher Esek, the first one of the Be'eros which they dug. So Yisaper HaKosov V'Ya'arich Be'inyan HaBe'eros. He says, I don't understand, why does the Torah tell us so much about these Be'eros which Yitzchak dug? Ve'ein B'Pshutoy HaSipa Toyelos. What's the big deal? So they dug some Be'eros, and the Plishtim quarreled about them, and then finally they got one which they didn't quarrel. Why is that so important for us to know? So why tell us this story?
Kibola hodiya dva osid,
Ki be'er mayim chayim yimos lebeis elokim. These be'eros are remozim to the bote mikdash. Asher yasu bonov shel Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the av where we're talking about la'osid lova, the Maisa Mashiach, that comes from Yitzchak. Yitzchak, that's the balaturim at the end of Chayesoro. Al pnei kol echov nofal, it says about Yishmael, and then Eile tol is Yitzchak. So the balaturim says it's a remes, that only when Yishmael is utterly destroyed, that's menyona de yoyme, that only when Yishmael is utterly destroyed, then Mashiach, who is the son of Yitzchak, will come. So Mashiach is ke'ilu nisyachas to Yitzchak more than to the other of us. And that's of course the Gemara and Shabbos, where Yitzchak was the one who said, look, bonahem v'loi bonecha. I think we mentioned that last week. It's a bewusste Gemara. So Ramban is saying that the Be'er Mayim Chayim Yimos Lebeis Elokim Asher Yasu Bonav Shel Yitzchak V'lochein Hiskir Be'er Mayim Chayim K'mo Sh'omer Mekor Mayim Chayim Es Hashem by Beis HaMikdash V'koro Rishon Esek Yimos Lebeis Rishon, and so on and so forth. So Yitzchak digs a Be'er, or his Avodim dig a Be'er, and suddenly we have the Beis HaMikdash rising. There was nothing in Yitzchak which had any shaitas to our physical world. He digs a bear, and the bear was like an oil well by us today, like it was water, and that meant wealth, and it meant life, and it meant all kinds of things in the climate which existed over there. So Be'er Mayim Chayim was a very, very, very big deal. But by Yitzchak, it didn't deal with the water. It dealt with the Beis HaMikdash. I think that Yitzchak was in touch with the Mekoyah of Broch. I think that's the pshat why the theoretical praedos of Yitzchak made so much zevel, because although the praedo is mufka from Brocha, but even by Yitzchak, he is in touch with the mokoy of all brochas. Chazal say that the brochas of the whole world that come from the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash brings wealth to the world and so on. So the mokoy of Brocha is the Beis HaMikdash. The Be'elois of this world are only Misholim to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's by Yitzchak. Avraham dug those Be'elois also. But it doesn't say anything over there about Remosim for the Beis HaMikdash. But by Yitzchak, he is the Oiler Tamima. Agav, I just want to mention, I think I've mentioned this Rav Avraham ben Rambam before. The only reason I'm mentioning it again is because it's so interesting. What does the Ramban say? The Ramban says that mentioning these Be'eros is really problematic because it's no great covet for Yitzchak. The emes is the way Rav Avraham ben Rambam learns the story of the Be'eros. It's really a big covert for him. Because what does he say? It's very, very interesting. It says, Vayorivu, the Plishtim were Yorivu, and they called it Esek. So the Roman Ramon writes like this, Yuvon Mizeh Soit Godoil, Ki Ho'ovois Aleim HaSholem, Im Kol Oishrom HaGodoil, V'nichsehem HaMerubim, Loihoyu Asukem Be'inyonehem HaGashmiyim. They weren't interested in their physical things. They were in ruchniyistike machshavos all the time. I'm going away from this bear. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to have to start fighting with the Plishtim. It's mine, it's yours, this is mine. It's an Ishvamir. I'll walk away from that. And incidentally, that really leads us to where I'm really trying to get. What about Rivka? How was it like to be married to a person like that who lives completely, even while down in our physical world? You could say on Yitzchak B'derach Melitza, you could say it's Tam Eitzor Piri Yoshoven, that his Gashmistic existence was also B'prinas Peri. So how was it like to be married to him? Which is really what I want to get to really. But I just want to learn this Ramban over here in Toldos because it's so interesting, because that really leads us into the sugi which I really want to get to. At the beginning of Perek Zayin, where Yitzchak sends Esav to get the tzayit so that he can give him the brocha, So Ramban says like this, very interesting. Ramban wanted to give him the Birchas Avraham. The Nire, now the Ramban says something unbelievably interesting. Rivka never told him the Nevuah that she had got. If she had a Nevuah that Rav Ya'avod Tzo'ir, why does he want to make the older one into the leader? So he said, must be that Yitzchak didn't tell, that Rivka never told Yitzchak. Why did Rivka never tell Yitzchak? Sagt der Ramban, Vehine mit chile loy higide loy, derech musso tzniyas. Like she didn't want to tell him. Why? Ki vaseilech litroish es Hashem, shaholcho beloy reshus Yitzchak. She felt bad. When she went to be litroish es Hashem to find out what's this business with the Yisroitzah to Rabbonim Bekirba, she didn't ask Yitzchak reshus. So now she should tell him, I was told. She felt bad, like, why didn't I ask Yitzchak? Oishu amra, or maybe, eino noichi tzricho lehaget. Maybe she didn't tell him the Nevuah. Why? Le Novi, because he himself is a Novi. Ki hu godol min hamagedli. Yeah, but that raises an unbelievable question. If he's godol min hamagedlach, if he's greater than the people who told you shnei goyim bevitnech, so why didn't you ask Yitzchak? He's your husband. Why didn't you ask him? So I wondered about this Ramban, like why did Yitzchak Rivka Taka not ask Yitzchak? And why did she go without his reshus? And why did she do this whole thing in secret? So it could be that either that this wasn't the kind of stuff that she wouldn't go to Yitzchak with her tzoros. Maybe she felt Yitzchak wouldn't understand the agonies that she was going through. Or that in his olamas maybe he was busy with other things. I don't know, you can say anything you want because the Ramban doesn't say anything. But the emes is probably, she didn't want to make him feel bad. Here, Baruch Hashem, he had prayed so hard, and Ribbono Shel Olam finally had blessed her with a pregnancy, and twins, noch dazu. And she said, I'm going to tell him that I've got problems with these twins and that they're hurting me and that I don't feel related to them. We said last week in talking about this pregnancy, he's running to Beis Avodah Zarah, he's running to... what's going on with me? I'm being a mother to history, not to children. That seems to be what was bothering her. So maybe she didn't want to tell that to Yitzchak. She sounded ungrateful. Yitzchak was probably very happy that finally his Rivka is pregnant and there will be babies in Yetzer Hashem. And now she's going to tell him, like in Kein Lama Zeh or Neuche. Perhaps she couldn't tell Yitzchak that. It's very, very interesting. Which brings us to back to the pregnancy, which is really where I wanted to get, because it's so interesting, this Vayisroitzitzu Habonim Bekirba. And that's what I want to talk about a few minutes, because it's really something which it's Meuridig in many ways. So Rashi says like this, Vayisroitzitzu, al kochoch ha-mikro ha-zeh oimer darsheni. This mikro, it needs some kind of drash. The pshuta shel mikro does not inform us. Why? Shesosam mahi retzitzo zu. Because the Torah is not telling us what this retzitzo was. Vayisroitzitzu. What exactly was going on? I mean, every pregnancy is with discomfort and with pain. So why is im kein lomo zeh neuchi? Why does that result from that? And Rashi learns im kein lomo zeh neuchi. Why did I pray for pregnancy if it's so absolutely dreadful and the agonies are so great? Like, why did I get involved in this? So Rashi says, "Eina mikra ze oimer elo dasheni." So they dashen the taka. Rabbi Seinu doshu loshan ritzo, that it's not from rotsatz to mean whatever, we'll see what it means, but it's from ritzo to run. K'shehoisoi veres al pisrei toiro shel shem ve'eve Yaakov rotz umefaches lotzes. Oi veres al pesach avodah zarah esof mefaches lotzes. Maral learns that what does it mean? Like, how can you say it's miloshen ritzo, running? It says rotzatz. By running is only one tzaddik. The shoyrish of running is roots. The shoyrish of vayisroitzitzu is rotzatz. So how does rotzatz suddenly become roots? So the Maharal learns that that's the two tzaddiks. In other words, that the two tzaddiks are not from the Shoyrish Rotsatz. We're talking about the Shoyrish roots, but there were two runnings. Esav ran this way, Yaakov ran that way. See, what's going on over here is like this. What exactly does Rotsatz mean? What does it mean, Vayishroitzetzu Habonim Bekir? Well, that's really what I wanted to get hold of. Because Rotsatz occurs a lot of times in Tanakh. Not a lot of times, I can tell you exactly, it occurs 19 times. It's not because I'm such a big book in Tanakh, but because I have my concordancia here, because I wanted to show you that our Loshen over here is really unique. Because Rotsatz does occur 19 times, but only once over here in the Hispael, in the reflexive, by Yisroitzetzu. What does it usually say? I'll read out a couple. Ves mi oshakti, ves mi ratzoisi. Not as mi hisratzoisi. As mi ratzoisi. Lo yashaktonu, lo rotzoisonu. Ho oishkois dalem ha rotzoisois avyoinem. Kone rotzutz lo yishbo vo yiso ach oshuk vo rotzutz kolayomim. There's never any hispoel. And here you have Vayisroitzetzu Habonim Bekirba. The Hispoel is always the reflexive, something that you do to yourself. Now, what exactly does Rotsatz mean? Now, obviously, like every other word in Loshon HaKodesh, or most other words, many other words in Loshon HaKodesh, it does have different nuances in places where it occurs, depending on the context. So, to say one particular taich for Rotsatz is probably incorrect, but what I want to read to you is a Rashi in Chulin, because that is really, I think, the mocker of what is going on over here in the pregnancy of Rivka. And I'll just talk out, maybe some of you, I mean, most of you probably who are listening to the show know about this, but if others, some of them don't, I'll just talk it out, that there is the concept of something called Tumor Ritzutza. Rotsatz, right? From the law of Shoyrish Rotsatz. Tumor Ritzutza. Now, just the background for that. So, there is such a thing as Tumas Meis, that when a person dies, his body becomes Tomei. So, Tumas Meis, all tumors spread to other people. But other tumors, except Tumas Meis, only spread when you have an actual contact with a tumor, either by touching it or by lifting it up in some cases. But by Tumas Meis, there's a special chiddush of Tumas Oihel. That is, that if a person finds himself under the same roof as a meis or as a part of that meis, so the tumor spreads to him under that oihel, under that roof, even if it doesn't come into actual contact with the tumor. The oihel over them both spreads the tumor from the meis or the piece of meis to this person without his coming into actual contact with it. That is called Tumas Oihel. Now this Oihel has two functions. It has the function of spreading the tumor which is underneath it, and it has the function of blocking the tumor from rising upwards past the Oihel. Because when a tumor is lying in the open, so then its tumor goes all the way up to the sky. That was the problem when El Al was flying over the cemetery when they took off from Ben Gurion. And so the question was, well, the Koyanem, there was a big issue of a few years ago about that. Because the tumor is Oile Adlerokia. Tumor goes all the way up. But if there's an Oihel over it, the Oihel stops it from going up. So the oil has two functions. It has one function to spread the tumor underneath it, and it has another function to stop the tumor from going up beyond itself. What's Tumor Ritzutza? Because one of the definitions of an oil is that it has to be more than a tefra from the ground. If you have an expanse of something which is less than a tefra from the ground, it's a tiny little space only, like, let's say a tefra is 4 inches, let's say this oil is only 3 inches from the ground, so then even if there's a piece of a maize lying underneath it, and an object or a person somehow is got his hand stuck under that oil, he wouldn't become tomei, because a oil that is less than a tefa from the ground is not considered to be an oil. It doesn't have the function of an oil. So there's a very interesting halacha, and that is that tumo rutsutzo, we'll see in a moment why it's called rutsutzo from rotsatz, but if that tumo underneath this non-oil, boikas v'oile ad l'rokia, it crashes through that oil all the way to the sky. In other words, if the oil, because of the absence of the requisite height, cannot spread the tumor underneath it, so then it also can't stop the tumor from going through it right up to the sky. We learned earlier that a regular oil, which has the prerequisite requirements, so then it spreads the tumor underneath it, and also it stops the tumor from bursting further than itself. If it's not an oil, the gav is spreading, so then it's also not an oil, the gav is stopping. And the tumah is oile ad l'rokia. Now there Rashi says a very, very, very interesting taich in Rotsatz, and I think that is what our sugya over here about this pregnancy is really all about, and that's why it's so important to learn it carefully. So we have Rotsatz. I opened it up to be ready, and now I lost the place. Just one second, please. Oh, here we are, Rotsatz. So, this comes from Chulen Kuf Chof Hei Omed Beis by Tumu Rutsutso. So Rashi says, Kol Dover She'ein Loi Mokheim Revach Korui Rotsatz. Anything which is has no place, it hasn't got any way to move, it's constricted. Kol dover she'ein loy mokom revach, it has no space within which it can function, korui rotsatz, it's constricted, it can't move. Upochas mitefach lav cholalhu, v'nikro masha b'soicha rotsatz. It's called tumor rotsutza, because the tumor that is underneath an oil, which is not a tefach high, that qualifies under that definition which Rashi said, it's a thing that has no mokom revach. It's constricted. It can't move. Like, usually being in an oil gives me movement throughout the oil, up to the kach that any tumor which lies underneath it will touch me, will make me tome, because we're all in this together, there's plenty of space, and I'm occupying this huge space. So here, if it doesn't qualify as an oil, so then you tucker don't have this huge space, and if you don't have this huge space, so then you're by kava oile, then you crash through barriers. That's the pshat. Tumor rutsutso means a constricted tumor. So I think that here we have the secret of what's happening by this vayisroitzitzu habonim betirba. Why the hispoel? Why the reflexive? So I think the pshat is like this, and what's happening is, you remember we asked, Rashi says that suddenly the rotsatz becomes ritzo, running. So I asked, like, what are the two tzaddiks doing over here? If it's a shoyrish of rotsatz, whatever rotsatz means, what we learned now, rotsatz, something that is constricted. So then you have two tzaddiks, but roots only has one tzaddik. So the pshat is like this, vayisroitzitzu habonim. I think the pshat is like this, that these two twins in there, they were struggling with each other. We saw that Esav wants to get to the Avodah Zarah. I think I talked last week about the Maharal. He says, what do you mean there's no Yetzer Hara before the child is born? But that was his nature. He was attracted to this physical world. Yaakov Avinu was attracted to the Beis HaMedrash. They had no understanding for each other. They had no use for each other. So they were struggling, and each one was trying to expand in that womb as far as he could, because he didn't want the other guy around. Because what is Yaakov going to do with an Esav as a neighbor? Or what's Esav going to do with a Yaakov as a neighbor? They didn't want each other. So if they didn't want each other, they expanded and they tried to expand to fill every open millimeter within that womb, to fill it as far as each one could go, leaving the other one no space, and therefore leaving themselves no space. Because both of them were fighting, and if both of them were fighting, so really in fighting Esav, Yaakov was constricting his own space for movement, because he needed to fill every empty space in the womb, so there was no space left for him to move around. And so that's my Gisreutzitzu. These two Bonim made themselves spaceless, made each other and themselves, that's why you have the Hispoel, made each other and themselves constricted, such that there was no room for them to move around. No, so what happens when you're constricted? What happens when you have no place to move around? So then, by chaos v'oile, you crash through barriers. And that's what Maharal says, that's what we do with the two tzaddiks. We ask, what is the, how does roots, to run, how does that accommodate the two tzaddiks? The answer is one tzaddik for Yaakov, one for Esav. That's what Maharal says. We use the two tzaddiks, one for each of the two twins. Yaakov ran, that's tzaddik number one. Esav ran, that's tzaddik number two. So apparently in this drosha, we're also doubling the resh, a rotz for him and a rotz for him. So that's one of the klolim in darshaning. That's too far to go into that now. But if you, maybe you remember the Rashi, that one of the, in the beginning of Bereshis, where it says that the Rebbein Shem called the Rokia Shomayim. So Rashi says that one of the hints in the word Shomayim is Shomayim, that the Rokia was made the ikka of water. So Shomayim is using the mem twice. So you see that in Drosha you can use letters twice. There's a whole mahalach on that, but that's not for now. So here also apparently we're doubling the resh. We already have two tzaddiks, so it's rotz. That's what's going on over here. Unbelievably interesting. That explains this unbelievable pain which Rivka had. Because all women, you remember we mentioned Ibn Ezra, I think, last week, that he said she went around to all the women and asked them, did you ever have such terrible pains? That's like, how do you explain a pain? All of them, Zicha had pains, but not so bad. Like, what's going on? How do you explain how much pain you had? The terrors is, you have to understand that what's happening over here is that during her pregnancy, Rivka was not having the kind of pains which every pregnant woman has. So she had an excessive amount of pain. She was suffering birth pangs. Birth pangs, the agonies of birth. That's what was happening. Esav is trying to crash out of the womb. Yaakov is trying to crash out of the womb. Those are not pregnancy pangs, pregnancy discomforts. Those are birth pangs. And that is what Rivka was suffering. And that we understand very well. Now, remember Rashi said that Ena Mikra Zeh Oime Elo Darsheni, why? By Yisroitzitzu Abonim Bekirbo, and therefore she went Lidrosh Es Hashem. The Teretz is now to round off everything that we've said. And maybe that's Taka why she went to the Beis HaMedrash Shel Shem Ve'Eva, and she didn't go to Yitzchak. How could she tell Yitzchak that? What was she going to tell Yitzchak? She's going to tell Yitzchak, you know, we're so happy that we have these twins, but I've got to tell you something. These are not ordinary babies, and my relation to them as a mother is not that of a normal mother. When we were davening for babies, yeah, you know what? I was davening for a nice cuddly baby. I just wanted the basic will and rotzen of every mother to have a child. That's what I was davening for. And here I didn't get a child, my child. I got two, like, typologies. I've got a Yaakov and an Esav. I've got somebody who's running to the Beis HaMedrash, and another one is running to the Beis HaMedrash, and I don't know what's going on with me. These are not my children in any sense. These are something which the Rebbein Shem has in mind. The emes is, the issue that remains unresolved for me, because I don't know, I mean, first, after they told her, Shnei goyim bevitneich, Shnei le'umim mimi'ayich yiporeidu, was she happy or wasn't she happy? I don't know whether she was happy, or whether she was more, decide, okay, so I'm going to have to bear the pain, because very, very great things are happening inside me. But the emes is, this is not the normal mother-child relationship. And that is really what I meant last week, that I think to look at the test to which Eliezer subjected her as a simple test in chesed, is she a balas chesed, is she not a balas chesed, I think is insufficient. I think that it was a test, can she be married to Yitzchak? Is she able to be so giving? Is she able to be so lack of consideration for herself and only for the other person. You want a drink? Oh, so you remind me, people are thirsty, so camels are also thirsty. Let me run and feed your 10 camels. I mean, it's crazy. Well, who would do that? Oh, Rivka would do that. Somebody who has absolutely no thought of herself and only for the other person. That's way beyond chesed, as chesed is normally understood. It's something, a self-abnegation. It's something which is completely giving of the self, so much so that, as we've learned now, she was able to take this most intimate and precious experience that a woman can have, which is the pregnancy, and deal herself out of the equation. She's just like a surrogate mother. She's got Shnei Goyim Bevitner. She doesn't have two babies there. She has Shnei Goyim Bevitner, who already as fetuses are running to their destiny, running to Avodah Zarah, running to the Beis HaMedrash. That was sacrifice on a grand scale. And that, I think, that Eliezer was testing when he put her to the test of the water.